Five people here taking news from our LinkedIn page. If you haven't followed us on LinkedIn yet, we'll leave a link in the description. Go ahead and give us a like and subscribe to this channel. It helps us definitely grow through the YouTube algorithm so more people can get updated on new tech news, updates and deals as well, guys. Okay, so we are here today. We'll also leave our social media pages below as well too, down in the description, so you guys can see just to follow us on other social media platforms as well. Okay, so let's get started for today, guys. So we got news on Microsoft Teams, right? So we got Microsoft Teams update is cutting down on all unnecessary meeting admins, right? So Microsoft is working on a new feature for its collaboration platform Teams that will allow users to create spur-of-the-moment video meetings more easily. As per an entry in the company's product roadmap, an upcoming Teams update will introduce the ability to create instant Meet Now links, which can be used to launch directly into a session. Right, so this is going to be pretty big for you guys, especially you guys that don't really like to wait on admins to, you know, host a meeting or to accept a meeting. Now this is going to be instant, so this works really well. This is very different than Zoom as well, guys. You know, Zoom, as you guys know, it's very host oriented, right? So whoever created the meeting, whoever set up the group and meeting, has, you know, access to admin features. So it looks like Microsoft Teams is working to kind of have everybody inclusive, having kind of all the same playing field within the meeting. So this definitely looks really, really cool. So if you want to learn more about this, guys, too, you can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more about it there. Moreover, guys, we also have the top three tips for better business data protection. Right, so being able to retain customer trust has never been more important or more difficult following the events of 2020. With so much disarray and widespread changes to working patterns, such as the mass migration to remote working, the job of keeping businesses secure has never proved such a challenge. Between more sophisticated cyber criminals and immense pressure to ensure governance of compliance, in 2021 is already shaping up to be minefield, right? So as such, cybersecurity has risen to the top of most organization agendas. And we know this to be true, guys, right? We know this to be true. We know this, that, you know, lots of phishing scams have been happening. Lots of scamming has been happening through text message, through email, you know, people, going into, you know, local corporate offices, you know, acting like they work there, pretending like they work there, stealing data from, employees' computers. You know, this is a very, very big deal, not just physically, but also, you know, over the internet. You know, again, these guys are cyber criminals, so, you know, they could be phishing for your information, and, you know, you could leave an app open, or again, you clicked on the wrong link. Guys, this is why we come out with this important information to you guys, so you guys can stay updated, and, you know, can protect yourselves, right, in your businesses. So let's go into the link and let's see the top three ways to better protect yourself, right, in your business. Right, so it can be difficult to determine where to start when it comes to cybersecurity. So here are three areas every business should be thinking about when addressing their data protection challenges. Right, so one, watch out, dark clouds are on the horizon. Right, businesses haven't been the only ones accelerating their digital transformation over the past year. Cyber criminals have had hard at it too, right? So there has been a sharp rise in dark clouds as cyber criminals have migrated to the cloud, often for the same reasons businesses have. Cloud computing allows them to avoid big front capital expenses, paying monthly for their shady businesses, and scaling up only when they need to. Coupled with the ability to access information from anywhere, it's no wonder we're seeing cyber criminals innovate, right? So this ranges from cloud-based catches filled with stolen user data, such as email addresses, authentication credentials, to personal identifiable information, such as scans of passports, driver's licenses, and bank invoices. Data exfiltration has become so valuable, it's now the backbone of all cyber attacks, and it may only take one breach to ruin your reputation and relationship with your customers, right? So we all know this, right? That's why not having an effective cybersecurity program in place puts your business continuity at risk, right? So because you're either going to be one of those proactive organizations aggressively looking to strengthen your systems ahead of time, or the other type of business that's not doing that and becoming more vulnerable with every passing day. And this is very true, guys. So Team Up with Cybersecurity has turned personal. So between collaborating cyber criminals, the upward trajectory of data growth, and the distributed workforce, the risk factor for every business is accelerating. This is one reason why we expect to see most businesses increase their general IT spending by around 5-10% this year, despite the economic impact of the pandemic. And we anticipate that most of the allocation will go towards IT security. But even with these investments, it won't be enough to cover all the potential threat vectors. So businesses will still be forced to place strategic bets across their people, processes, and technology in the hope of covering weakest points. For example, will you invest in the education of employees? After all, people always are going to be the biggest weakness, right? Or put that money into optimizing and securing processes by investing in Security Operations Center, right? So SOC. Or will new technology be the most effective investment? So it's impossible for every business to get this mix perfectly right. So business leaders need to strategize how best to avoid cyber attacks. Too often businesses expect their security team to handle this, but most of the time this leads to an over-reliance of IT professionals who are already stretched thin by constantly putting out fires. They don't also have the time to develop this strategy. That's why making sure every member of the company plays in the cybersecurity challenge is key. For example, while employees may be a business biggest weakness, they also form the human firewall and need to be equipped to do just that, which takes education. But don't let the collaboration end there, right? So your entire ecosystem of peer-like organizations, experts, suppliers, vendors, and even the government should be aligned and geared towards combating this threat. Cyber criminals are already working together on large scale, sharing information about critical vulnerabilities, breach systems, and targets extremely fast. So don't fight alone. Work with contacts in the relevant authorities, whether the Information Commission's office, industry bodies, or even speaking to similarly sized organizations in other sectors to figure out how best to utilize risk management models and resiliency plans, guys. This is very, very, very important. So we can't just be relying on the IT professionals, say if you're a big corporation or a big organization, and just relying on them. That we all need to get educated on the threats of cyber attacks, cybersecurity, and how to best protect not only your personal property and assets, you know, and things like that, but also for the business, also for the employees and for people that are coming to work every day, right? So by ensuring you follow government regulations, increased alignment and information sharing between the government and private organizations will help speed up the identification of threats and lead to faster resolutions, right? So let's gear up, look to hybrid security and intelligent backup to stay ahead. right? So we know that technology is always going to be the heart of cybersecurity fight, but no one product is going to maximize your security state. You need to invest in your desired outcome. To do that, organizations need to look for software-defined models integrated with external services, a hybrid security approach, right? So this includes cloud-based software such as pen testing as a service, scanning as a service, right? So network defense as a service, disaster recovery as a service, and backup as a service, right? So the hybrid security approach, which has your internal security teams connected to external cybersecurity experts and law enforcement, will keep you the most secure and while also helping raise the experience level of your security teams. Conversely, backup should play a bigger role within organizations. It not only gives organizations the ability to restore and forensically analyze data in the event of a breach, but in a world that's becoming more critically reliant on ballooning data stores to improve customer experience, backup data can help better utilize it. And it's very important too, guys. Say, you know, you run an online store, you run a store, you know, you have a retail store, you have a service online business, right? It's great to have backup files where you can definitely, you know, in case something happens, in case somebody pixelates your site, or, you know, somebody, you know, say drop something in your site and you have no idea what it is, you have backup just in case to protect yourself, right? So we're already seeing some organizations combine application owners, backup analytics, and security teams in a new virtual data management team. This way, they can tackle the challenges around exposed data, service level expectation, and risk growth in the most beneficial economical way. Ultimately, for businesses to really keep up with their growing data and continue to derive useful insights from it, they will need to invest in tools powered by machine learning and artificial intelligence to speed up data extraction and analysis processes, right? So as these technologies are also significant weapons in cybersecurity, as well as aiding in data-driven decision-making, their adoption is expected to grow at a rapid pace and will add tremendous intelligence and power to the fight, which is amazing, right? So not all, you know, the cyber criminals, they're trying to attack us. We need artillery. We need to fight back. We need weapons. So these programs and these management systems and these softwares to protect your business are your weapons, guys, you know? So as it's the crux, the takeaway here is getting prepared for cyber threats, you will only be putting your business ahead of your competitors and boost your productivity. So don't just choose a supplier or buy a new product, build an ecosystem that will stand by your side when the cybersecurity battle starts to heat up. Right. So that is definitely ways where, you know, you can definitely start protecting yourself and your business and your employees, guys. This is very important, guys. So if you want to learn more about some of these programs as well that we described here in this article, go ahead, click into the article and you can learn more about it there. All right. But this is very, very important. All right, guys, more news on Microsoft. Right. So Microsoft, it looks like they're teaming up with AMD again for the Surface Laptop 4. So, you know, it's been more than a year since the launch of Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. And while we expected to see its successor, the Surface Laptop 4, arrive back in 2020, we now have a better idea of what to expect from the next iteration of the company's flagship device. According to the listing on benchmark site Geekbench, the Surface Laptop 4, codenamed Rainier, will come with an AMD Ryzen 5 processor, making another major win for the CPU maker and further headaches for Intel as it continues to partnership with Microsoft following the introduction of its tech in the Surface Laptop 3. Right, so that definitely should be amazing, right? So definitely going to be great, nice processing times, going to be very light, very fast, and so that should be very wonderful, guys. If you want to learn more about this too, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more about that. We have Samsung News Guys, so it looks like Samsung Galaxy Health app users, might have to upgrade to a new device, guys. So users of the Samsung Health app, guys, if you use Samsung Health app on older Samsung Galaxy smartphones, they want to check if they need to make an upgrade to a newer model, as the company will be phasing out support for the app on Android 7 and lower starting March 22nd. So more specifically, if you're using a Samsung Galaxy S5, Galaxy Note 5, or the Galaxy A3, A5, or A7 tablets, then you will be affected by the cease of support for the Samsung Health app, guys. So definitely keep that in mind, guys. So it looks like this is planning to phase out and roll out later in March. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on the, you know, the rollouts and everything like that, and what devices they'll be available for too. So if you want to learn more information too about this, again, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more. More news again, more Samsung updates. Looks like the Samsung Galaxy Z phone, two buyers can now try the phone for 100 days before committing. So it looks like they're getting a free trial, guys, with the phone. I've never heard this in the industry of tech, so this seems really, really interesting. So foldable phones are expensive, and they're also not going to be a good fit for everybody. So convincing people to take a chance on them is one of the major hurdles that companies face. But Samsung has just made it a lot less risky to give a foldable phone a try. Buyers in the US who purchase a Samsung Galaxy Fold 2 or Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 5G direct from Samsung's online store between now and April 1st will get 100 days to try the phone. So if you decide you don't want it during that period, you can return it for a full refund. So this looks like it's going to be happening now and until April 1st, right? So guys, if you know, if you're looking to purchase the Galaxy Z Fold 2 or the Galaxy Z Flip 5G, it looks like now you can try it for 100 days. And 100 days, guys, 100 days is a little bit over 3 months. That is more than enough time to see if you would like the phone, if you like to keep the phone, if it works for you, maybe if it's for you or your business, or whatever it is, guys. So that is a good amount of time where you can try out the phone, see if you like it, and move forward with that, right? So definitely check that out, guys. You know, if you want to learn more about this too, you can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, please, and click into the article so you can learn more. Moreover, guys, we also have Huawei. So Huawei smartwatches are about to get much, much better. So while Huawei smartwatches like the Huawei Watch GT 2 Pro look great and have plenty of health and fitness features, they're often rather limited in the lifestyle feature department. This is because they don't support third-party apps, those made by companies other than Huawei. Right, so that's about to completely change though, as Huawei has announced its wearables will now support apps from all developers as long as the smartwatch app is run through Huawei's app gallery. So that's very, very interesting, guys. Right, so very, very cool. Let's see if there's any, you know, pictures, if there's any videos, if there's any more information about this. All right, so let's see. So it looks like this change blows the functionality of Huawei smartwatches wide open, and now they can truly compete with Google's and Apple's wearables. New smartwatch apps could include bespoke fitness platforms, music streaming services, maps, and possibly even games. When could we see more apps? The first third-party Huawei smartwatch app is already live. It's called Fitify, right? So, and it's a smart, it's a wristwatch version of the fitness mobile app with over 5 million installs from the Google Play Store. The app lets you track and analyze a wide variety of workouts. So that is very, very cool, right? So Fitify, the app called and what it's called, right, is just the first of many. but we won't see new apps on Huawei smartwatches straight away. That's because we need to see developers port their platforms into a watch app for some who already have Wear OS or Watch OS versions. This presumably won't take much work, right? But some developers might need to put a lot of effort into creating their first smartwatch app, right? So as such, some developers might deem the time and money it would take to create a smartwatch app unnecessary. So we'll need to wait and see how many third-party Huawei watch apps we see pop up over time. So one thing for sure is this further cements Huawei smartwatches as some of the top wearables you can buy right now. And this is going to be really, really, really cool. So it's solidifying itself in the smartwatch game, guys. And not even just smartwatch, guys, just Huawei's technology in general. Huawei's technology is very, very intuitive. It's very clean, very slick, very nice. You feel it as soon as you see it, you hold it, you play with it. It's different. It has just a different vibe, just a different feeling once you use that piece of technology, right? So the fact that they're doing this is a huge, huge benefit, right? And it really puts them into competitive range with Google, with Apple, even Apple smartwatches as well too. We know how a lot of people like the iPhone. Me personally, I might even try the Huawei, because Huawei, I mean, it looks just super clean, right? You know, compared to Google, Apple, and Samsung, I mean, it looks really up there. It really looks sophisticated and really clean, guys. So if you want to learn more about this too, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn. You can click into the article. You can learn more. All right. We also have pretty interesting news about Spider-Man 3. It looks like the title is teased by Tom Holland as the first official photos are released, guys. So Tom Holland has given us the first glimpse of Spider-Man 3 and trolled fans over the movie's supposed title, right? So this is really cool. Holland, alongside co-stars Zendaya and Jacob Batalon, took to Instagram on Tuesday evening to tease fans with the first official stills from the upcoming MCU flick. As expected, the images, one of which you can see above, don't give anything away, but judging by the concerned looks on their faces, the trio have stumbled upon something worrying or huge, right? So you can see this looks like this is part of the clip from the new Spider-Man, right? As you can see, and looks like there's some more clips. So let's see some more photos, right? So like you see this photo here, very interesting, very, very cool. So Zendaya and Batalon, who play MJ and Ned Leeds respectively, also joined Holland in pranking fans over the film's alleged title. The group accompanied their Instagram uploads and captions stating their delight over being able to share Spider-Man 3's title. However, fans who scrolled through the resulting images were met with humorous takes on trilogy's previous two entries instead. You can view Holland's post below and then check out Zendaya's and Batalon's follow-up images. Spider-Man Phone Home, Spider-Man Home Slice, or Spider-Man Home Wrecker. Take your pick. So it looks like they're trying to see if one of these titles will be for Spider-Man 3. These could be really jokes though, so I wouldn't really take them seriously. Or they could just be real, honestly. You never really know. But this is really speculation. As you can see, we have this title here, and we have Spider-Man Phone Home. Well, this is again from Marvel Studios, and they posted this on Twitter. Looks like they posted this yesterday on Twitter too. Very, very interesting. All right, interesting stuff, guys. So let's get ready for Spider-Man 3. You know, hopefully it'll be released later in 2021, not anytime super, super soon, but definitely soon enough this year. But I don't think anytime within the next month or two, but if it is, we'll definitely keep you guys updated, and of that nature. Again, if you want to learn more about this article too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn. You can click into the article and learn more there. We also have news on Nintendo DS Lite. So it almost has had this popular Switch feature back in 2006, right? So the Nintendo DS Lite is widely considered to be one of the Nintendo's finest hardware refreshes. It's helped spur the popular handheld to 154.9 million units sold and addressed many of the contentious issues consumers had with the console's original bulky design, right? So the Nintendo DS Lite almost had this popular Switch feature back in 2006, right? So let's see if there's any more, videos or pictures of this feature. Looks pretty interesting. So looks like we don't, but let's read more into it, right? So one of the Nintendo Switch's most appealing qualities is its hybrid nature, right? So you can play on the TV or take the console on the move handheld hand mode, right? So should you desire. So the Wii U also experimented with the using the TV and the Wii U gamepad to create the sort of dual screen magic Nintendo conjured up on Nintendo DS, but it really couldn't work, as dividing your attention between the two wasn't particularly intuitive, right? Imagine if the Nintendo Switch, right guys, the Nintendo Switch was looking like the DS, right? That would be very not cool. I don't think it would have as many sales, right? It wouldn't be as fun to play with, right? So Nintendo's most recent iteration of the Switch, the Nintendo Switch Lite, is strictly handheld only device and can't be connected to a TV. We expect that Nintendo's future device, possibly called Nintendo Switch 2 or Nintendo Switch Pro, will keep the hybrid functionality but target a 4K resolution when connected to the big screen, guys. And we know that right now Nintendo Switch definitely has, I think, the 1080p, so it really looks really nice in HD, but we shall see with the new system, right? All right, guys, so if you want to learn more about this Nintendo DS Lite as well too, you can go ahead, click into the article. You can follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more. All right, guys, we also have just a little bit of a tip. Microsoft Edge's PDF reader now lets you look up dictionary definitions, right? So Microsoft Edge has a new dictionary feature for its PDF reader, which allows you to look up definitions in the browser. So the days of using a dedicated PDF reader are pretty much over now. That just about every web browser in existence can open the popular file format. With so many PDF encountered online, this makes complete sense, but it's only in recent times that the browser-based readers are starting to catch up in terms of the features, right? So you can definitely check that out, guys. If you guys are reading a PDF, you don't know what a word means, you need the dictionary feature, looks like Microsoft Edge now has that, right? So if you want to learn more about how to activate this and how to enable this as well, and to make sure that it's enabled in your web browser, you can go ahead, again guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and this will tell you everything you need to know. Lastly, guys, we got Bitcoin blockchain is being used to shield some serious malware, guys. So, unfortunately, again, cyber criminals, they're very creative. I mean, and they're starting to use, I guess, the blockchain to store their malware, right? Because the blockchain is really untraceable, right? It's not centralized like any type of corporation or bank or institution. It's decentralized, right? So it looks like they're using that in a negative way, and I hope they get taken down, honestly. So security researchers have discovered that botnet campaign is innovatively using the Bitcoin blockchain to prevent it from being taken down. So while analyzing a long-running crypto mining botnet campaign, Chad Seaman from Akami discovered that its operators had camouflaged the IP address of its backup command and control server on on the Bitcoin blockchain. So that is really interesting. That's kind of crazy. So in December 2020, Seaman noticed that the presence of Bitcoin wallet address in newer variants of the malware, along with some other details. In examining these additions further, it became clear the wallet data being fetched from the API was being used to calculate the IP address, right? So it looks like these guys found a way of using a Bitcoin wallet address to figure out an IP address, right? So this IP is then used to for persistence and additional infection operations, notes Seaman in his analysis of the malware. So again, guys, you know, there are the good guys who are really looking to take down these cyber criminals, you know, in these botnet campaigns that have no use really for any good in our society. So you know, again, that's where we stand. Now you have another side of the token where people are using their smarts and, you know, their talents within the cyberspace for harm and for malware and to phish and to scam. And so this is the type of things we need to avoid, guys. So now I'm gonna even say, guys, even if you have a Bitcoin wallet address, yes, it's very highly unlikely that any, you know, 95% of the population doesn't know what to do with the Bitcoin wallet address, right? Either probably for sending or receiving, right? But now you gotta be careful online, right? So I would say if you're hosting a YouTube video or you're showing anyone on Zoom or anything like that how to set up a Bitcoin wallet, or, you know, you're talking about Bitcoin wallets, I would say now, guys, try to hide your keys now. Just try to camouflage, hide your keys in the videos, hide your keys everywhere. Now it used to, and it's not like in general now, it's still not, you know, it's still a threat, but it's like this article says, you know, but not many people know how to do this, right? So use precaution, guys, when sharing your Bitcoin wallet address and also your other cryptocurrency wallet address. So if you have Ethereum wallet address, if you have a Zcash wallet address, if you have a Litecoin wallet address, be careful where you're sending it, who you're showing it to, and how they're using it, right? Because now it looks like, you know, like they're saying in this article, they're able to use their that wallet address to indicate and calculate your IP address. And the IP address is literally where you are in the world through your internet connection. So be very careful, guys. And this is why we come out with information like this to you, so you know, you guys can stay updated and protected, and we can keep staying safe. All right. So without further ado, guys, we're going to end it right here, guys. If you want to learn more about, you know, new tech that's dropping, new software updates, new privacy.